Exodus chapter 33. We continue our study in the book of Exodus, the life of Moses. Exodus chapter 33. It's all or nothing. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Exodus 33, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go. Go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it.' And I will send my angel before you, and will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned. And no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the children of Israel, 'You are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore, take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do with you.'" So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting that was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of the cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing in the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. Now, just to do a minor bit of review, you remember from last week, we left the children of Israel. They had just committed a horrible sin. They were at an all-time low. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And in Moses' absence, the children of Israel, led by Aaron, had made themselves a golden calf to worship. They had bowed down before this golden calf. They had worshipped it. They had sacrificed to it. God sent Moses back down from Mount Sinai to put a stop to it. Moses comes down, put a stop to it, grinds the calf up, makes Israel drink the ground up calf in the water. And it's just a mess. You ever been there and done that? Just made a mess? That's where we are in the life of Moses and the life of the children of Israel. And so, as we pick up in verse chapter 33, we find the children of Israel a very barren people. And it's interesting, God says you can have almost everything. He tells them, "Depart to the land that I promised the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will send my angel before you. He will go and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, Hivites, Perizzites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and all the other ites." And he gives them everything. Everything that they wanted. "Go, take the land flowing with milk and honey." This has been their dream for 400 years. This is it. Time to celebrate. Time to say, yes, finally we're going to be a nation. Imagine if God told you that thing that you've wanted all your life, here it is. Whatever it is, you know? That thing that you really want, maybe it was a new home. You've just wanted this style of home or this home place all your life. It's all you've ever really wanted. God said, here it is. Maybe it's money. God says, here's all the money you could ever want to spend. How many of you would like that? Oh, come on. Amen. I'll amen that one. I'd like that. Maybe a new car. I don't know, maybe a new motorcycle. Whatever. But that thing that you always wanted, God says, here you go. And it dawns on you. As God says, here you go, you can have it, but I'm done. And it dawns on you that stuff is just not enough. It's just not enough. You see, verse 3, after God says, here it is, you can have it, go to it. And in verse 3, God says, but I will not go in the midst of you. I will not go with you. I'll send my angel before you, but I can't go with you. The reason I can't go with you is because you are a stiff-necked people. You know what stiff-necked is, right? Ornery, stubborn. Actually, it was used to describe an animal like an ox or a donkey that was harnessed. And if you've ever seen this, you can understand. If you haven't, I'll explain it the best I can. But have you ever seen an animal like that who was harnessed and you try to pull on the reins and that animal just bow up and refuse to turn his head? You know, and the rider or the operator will pull, and the harder they pull, the harder that animal stiffens up and plants those front legs in the ground and just refuses, I will not go that way. That's what God says, Israel, that's what you are. A people who refuse to be turned. But I'm a God. It's a God of my word. God always keeps His promises, you know, whether we do or not. God always keeps His promises. So God says, here you go, but I'm not going with you. And the people mourned. And I think it suddenly dawned on them that the promised land and all the prosperity that was to go along with it, and all they've waited for and all they've wanted, wasn't important anymore. When they realized that they were going to be a nation of whom God was not among any longer. As I looked at this, I thought to myself, can you imagine knowing that God's not where you are? Can you imagine? You see, most people have the idea that it doesn't matter what I do or where I am and where I go. God goes with me and He always blesses me. And that's simply not true. Did you know that sin will build a wall between you and God? As a matter of fact, oftentimes in counseling with people, I've heard them talk about the emptiness in their spiritual life. I've heard them talk about praying, but they say, Brother Doug, it just doesn't seem like my prayers get above the ceiling. I've heard them talk about Bible study, but it's always, but you know, I just don't understand. And they go on and on and make excuses. But the bottom line is you have to ask yourself, is God where I am? There are some places God won't go. And as long as you choose a life of rebellion, now grab me, stay with me here. As long as you choose a life of rebellion, God's going to say, I'm not going there. I'm not. You can go there, and we're not talking about losing your salvation, okay? We know that if you're a child of God, if you've committed your life to Jesus Christ, you have been sealed with the Spirit, and the devil himself can't take that away. But I want to tell you what, safe people can be empty. Safe people can be empty. And it's because we would choose that lifestyle or that direction that God says no. And yet knowing repeatedly, that's not the direction for my life, we just bow up and say, okay, God, but I'm not turning. You cannot change my direction. This is what I want. And then we wake up one day and we realize that the most important thing in our life we have let slip, and that is the God that we serve. I'm reminded of Psalms 84:10. I want to share with you. And I want you, you know, you've heard this time and time again, but just take note. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, the psalmist knew what the presence of the Lord was like, and he knew they didn't want to live without it. Now think about that for just a moment. Is that how you feel? When you get up in the morning, do you seek the presence of the Lord? Do you seek the Lord? Or do you say, Lord, I don't have time for you now. I've got to get to work. When you rise in the or you get to work and work your day and get to the end of the day and pretty soon there's been no time for God. And you say, I'm just too tired. Then come weekend when it's time to go and worship. And everybody needs to worship. But when it's Sunday and it's time to go worship, there's always another place to go. Oh, but yet you know God is God and He's still with me everywhere I go. Is He? You see, you've got to put God in life. You've got to make Him the leader of your life. Israel realizes when God says, I'm not going here. They realize, oh man, we can't be a people of God if God's not with us. And you know, we should realize the same thing. Stuff is not enough. Our things that we want, the things that we dream of, all that, it's not important. If God's not on the journey with us. Oh, but praise God for religious leaders, for spiritual leaders. Right? Oh, Moses. Man, what a bold guy. He was the guy that says, I'm not living this way. I'm not living like that. I'm not living without God. And so he began to take some bold steps. The first step, it was a bold action. As we read through this chapter, it says Moses basically moved out, right? He took his tent from the middle of the camp of the Israelites and he took it out of there. And it says he went where? Far. You know what that word far means? It means to put a great distance between you and something else. Moses says, no, if God's not in there, I'm not either. I'm gone. And he takes his tent and he calls it the tent of the meeting. And he pitches it far, a long distance from everybody else. And Moses realized, you see, God will not dwell where sin is in control. And so Moses knew something had to be done. Because if they were to go on without God, Moses said, I don't want to go. Now let me just take a moment here. And I want you to realize the things that Moses did are nothing that each of you can't do. If you're at that point in life where life is empty, God is distant, prayer is non-existent, and you know, if you're at that point of life, you need to step up and take notice. It's time to move. It's time to head to a different place. It's time to separate yourself from the crowd and say, I'm not going to live this way. Does that make sense? I'm not going to waste my life. And Moses, he established this place and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. You know what that word tabernacle? It's tent. The tent of meeting. This is where I go to meet God. Where do you go to meet God? Let me just ask. Where do you go to meet God? You say, Brother Doug, this was some kind of special tent. No, it wasn't. It was just a place in the distance where Moses said, this is where I'm going to meet with God. Where do you go meet with God? Brother Doug, I don't really have a place. You need to fix that. You need to fix that. Because if you don't have meetings with God, you'll never receive the direction of God. You'll never be able to appeal before God. We go on. Moses took a bold action. He took a bold approach. And oh, I love this. I love that verse 7. Man, just reading it stirs me. In verse 7 it says, Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that whoever sought the Lord went out the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. And I'm sorry, I meant verse 11. So the Lord, Moses gets out the tabernacle of meeting. Verse 11 says, so the Lord spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That's just good stuff. He spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And of course, this is a metaphor which is talking about intimacy and relationship and accessibility of God. And you understand this, but I want to share something else with you I didn't realize. How special this was in that, in the Near Eastern culture of that day. You never looked a superior in the face because it was considered dishonorable, disrespectful. So you never look to appear in the face. Now I want you to realize this is Moses and this is God. This is Moses and this is God. Moses at that point, he don't want to go on. And so he takes this bold action, sets up a tent of meeting, and then he goes before God. And it's as though it's man to man. One on one. And Moses is not being disrespectful, but I want you to grab a hold of the fact this is the God that we serve. On occasion, you've got to go face to face with God. Now, I know, okay? I understand. Moses did not look at the face of God. And we read a little later, no man can look upon the full glory of God and live, all right? But the conversation was just as God was there. And it was just like he was sitting in front of God face to face and saying, God, we need you. You see, this isn't a touchy-feely environment. This is a man-to-man kind of a talk. And I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 4. Says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, yet as we are, yet without sin. Who's it talking about? Come on. Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. And it's making the announcement, don't you know that Jesus understands what you're going through? So often people are like, well, you know, he's God and he gets it. He's been there. He's done that. He's experienced it. And because Jesus is the Son of God who does understand, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That word boldly, it means to come in confidence. Jesus knows. Let us go before Him realizing that's where we get what we need. See, Moses is getting bold before God. Are you bold before God? Or is your prayer life, Lord bless us, bless them, here we go, amen? You know, that's not much of a prayer life. Do you come before God with honesty and openness, sincerity. And you just come knowing that you can go face to face with God and know He's going to respond. That's what Moses is doing. He takes this bold approach and he comes before God as a man, and God interacts with Moses as a friend would interact with a friend. And then Moses, he's ready, you know, he's coming in all boldness, and he gets bold. He makes a bold assertion here as he says to God in verse 12. And we're going to kind of hit the highlights here of this chapter. But verse 12, Moses says, God. You got to get this. You got to see this in your mind. God, You told me to bring up this people. But Lord, You have not told me who You're going to send with me. Lord, You've told me that You know me by name. Lord, You've told me I found grace in Your sight. But God, I'm going to be honest with You right now. I don't understand, nor do I know Your plan. Lord, I don't feel like I found grace in Your sight. I don't feel like there's a closeness between You and I right now. When he says, You said You know me by name, he's referring to that intimate closeness relationship that they've had. And Moses is at a point, the children of Israel have built a golden calf and worshipped it, and they just turned completely away from God. And Moses says, God, I don't understand, and I don't know what to do anymore. That's bold. Now understand, Moses is not being disrespectful. Okay? He's not. But he's being honest. Sometimes you just need to be honest with God. Do you know that we can put on a front and I can fool you? How you doing, Brother Doug? Oh, I'm doing great. And that's usually my response. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not always great. Sometimes I get discouraged, just like you do. Sometimes I have family issues, just like you do. Sometimes I just get in a bad mood, just because I am, just like you do. And I can get on my knees. And I brush through my prayer life. I can get off my knees and know that's done a little good. Happened last week. I got in a hurry last week. And it was one of these, Lord, I've got to prepare. Last 3 weeks been very busy and very hectic for me as a pastor. And not complaining. It's just, you know, sometimes it rains, it pours. Well, it's been pouring a little bit lately, and that's okay. But I come in toward the end of the week. I got down on my knees, and, you know, I made my prayer list. It was, you know, this and that and other sick people and things going on in my life. And I hurried through my prayer list, boy, and I getting her done, because I know Sunday's coming. And if you're a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. Sunday comes every week. You know? And you got to have a message ready to go on Sunday morning, Sunday night. So, well, that's coming. And so, anyway, I'm brushing through my prayer life. I get on my knees, Lord, help us and bless them. And I'm naming people by name, but I'm blowing through it. Lord, help me. Give me the message that's needed on us. And I'm blowing through it. And then I got off my knees and I get to my computer and I start pulling up Bible verses and reading the Bible and going and going. And the more I read, the more empty I became. And the more empty I became, the more I read. And the more I read, the more irritated I became. And the more irritated I became, the more frustrated. And it was just this massive circle. I spent about 3 hours and accomplished absolutely nothing. And I backed up. I said, Lord, what's going on? Really, this is true. I'm going to lunch. I go home, lunch. Have you ever had that still small voice speak to you? And I'm home at lunch, I'm a little irritated.
No, I'm a lot irritated, I'll be honest. Lord, I don't know why this isn't working. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And boy, it was just as plain and straightforward. I said, Doug, how about your prayers this morning? Lord, I prayed. I know you prayed. But what about your prayer? And a thought comes through, and it's just as real. Doug, you didn't take that very seriously. You just blew through it. And it was so convicting at the moment. I was like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I didn't come before you boldly. I come before you because I was supposed to pray. I checked off a box this morning. And Lord, I understand why you weren't with me as I was trying to do what I was needing to do this morning. So I go back and I rip that prayer list apart and I start all over and I make my new prayer list and I get on my knees and I sincerely take these prayers before God and say, God, now I want to pray seriously. And I want to pray knowing that I can do nothing without you. And I laid the prayers before God and got up off my knees and opened my Bible to prepare for the message today. And guess what happened? It was like the veil was torn. Here it is, Doug. If you'd have done it right the first time, if you'd have come before me in boldness, if you had come before me in sincerity, but you wasted half the day trying to do it yourself, trying to do it your way. And it was one of those, you know, people sometimes tell me, Brother Doug, you preached to them this morning. This message preached to me last week. Folks, we need God. We need Him every day. We need to know there's no other place that we have to that we can go for what we need. And we need to be bold as we approach Him in all honesty and sincerity. There are times when we don't get it, when we don't understand. It's okay to go before God and say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand why this is. God, I don't. It's okay. You see, that's talking to God like a man talks to his friend. You know, Brother Michael and I and other staff members, I'll talk to them and I'll talk to them as I talk to a friend. I'll tell them, you know, I don't like this or I want us to do that. You know, I'm honest with those guys. Why? Because they're my friends. We've got to be willing to be bold before God. And as Moses poured out his heart and said, God, I don't understand, but I do know this. If you're not going with me, I don't want to go. Just leave us here. Just leave us here. Forget it. And if you're not going with us, let's just end it right here. I don't want to go. And you know what God said? Very interesting. God said, Moses, I'll go. I'll go. Moses, I do know you by name. Moses, you have found grace in my sight. And God responds to everything that Moses pointed out. And then Moses does something just that is, I mean, it's one of those honest times, and you don't see this again in the Bible, but he makes a bold appeal. He goes before God and right after that moment of honesty and boldness, and God says, okay, I'll do it. And Moses said, all right, we're on a roll here. And in verse 18, right after God said, okay, I'll do it. Verse 18, Moses said, and God, by the way, show me your glory. Now I wish I could explain to you that short verse. But I can't. Because it's far above my understanding. Okay? When Moses, and I can appreciate Moses, was saying, God, I want to see you like I've never seen you before. Show me your glory. And God says, Moses, you can't really see my glory and live. You can't do it, Moses. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you all you can handle. I'm going to give you all you can take at one time. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock and I'm going to pass by. And as I pass by, I'm going to put my hand over you so you can't see. And then as I'm passing by, you can look from behind. And you'll see something you've never seen before. You'll see my glory. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought, wow. What do you really want from God today? What do you really want? You know, let me ask you, what's your prayer life about? Is it about a better job? Is it about more stuff? What do you want from God? I'm going to tell you what you need. You need to see God like you've never saw Him before. You need to see the glory of God. Now, I'm not suggesting that God's going to do this Moses episode and put you in a cliff. I'm not suggesting that, but I do know this. We have all of God that we want. We really do. And today, I just want to take this moment and ask you, where are you with God? Or better yet, where is God with you? Are you a child of God? Okay? Are you a child? Are you saved? Brother Doug, I've been baptized. Good for you, but are you saved? Well, Brother Doug, I do the best I can. Good for you, but are you saved? Have you come to the point in life realizing that you are a sinner and confessing to God that you are a sinner, called upon Jesus, the Son of God, who paid for your sin upon the cross of Calvary, and have you asked Him to save you? If not, folks, you're going it alone. We don't want to go it alone. I've come to realize, you know, there are a lot of people in this world that are doing it without God. Boy, I don't want to do it without God. I don't want to live without God. Because that's not life. That's a waste of life. Maybe you're already saved, but you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. You need to make it public. You need to take your stand for Jesus today. You come. Commit to baptism. Maybe you're here and you've just been in one of those distant points. We've all been there. We've all been the time when God seems so distant and I feel so empty. Well, it's okay. You're like the rest of us. We've been there a time or two, but it's not okay to stay there. Okay? It's time to go to the tent of meeting and go boldly before God and pour out your needs and your requests before God who cares and let God do things you've never seen Him do before. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your word, Lord, that just gives us peace and encouragement. So often, Lord, we too are stiff-necked, stubborn, refusing to be turned, and we find ourselves in a place where we're so distant, and it's because of us, Lord. And so today I pray for everyone present. You know the needs that I do not. Lord, begin to draw all people to You today. For Lord, we don't want to do it by ourselves. We can't do it alone. Lord, we pray Your will be done in Jesus' name.